Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is all of it. The cliche, there's an app for that, has never felt more welcome. Our next guest will fill us on ways we can stay connected while keeping our distance or make the most of constant company. Between group games, workouts, and watch parties, now may be the time to consider downloading some new apps or taking a second look at old ones. My guest is Patrick Lucas Austin. He is tech columnist for Time. Patrick, welcome back to All of It.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
Of course. You know, according to Apptopia, which tracks performances of apps, House Party is the third most downloaded app right now, right behind Zoom and TikTok. So how is this app different than other video chat apps?
Well, House Party is pretty similar to other video chat apps because it is a video chat app. You can invite your friends, talk to multiple people at once. You know, it's pretty good at that. What it also does is integrate a few games into the mix. So you can play games like Heads Up Trivia, where, you know, you sort of, it's kind of like a charade in a way. There are a few other games you can play on there. And it kind of makes the whole talking to your friends thing a bit more exciting, a bit more entertaining. It's not you just asking, oh, how's your day? How's your day? What are you drinking? You know, you're doing something else to pass the time.
How's your kitchen? What's up with your roommates?
Oh. Yeah, what room are you in?
I've heard rumors that you can bump into famous people on House Party if you're into that thing, kind of thing. Is this true?
Well, I sure haven't. So if you find any, you can just let me know and point them to my House Party. That would be great.
Is it safe for kids? Is this the kind of thing kids can do, or is this just an adults-only kind of thing?
I think it's safe depending on, you know, who you invite and how you set it up. A lot of these group chat apps have have certain sort of security options that you can enable or disable to keep out, you know, random people. So depending on how it's set up, I think it should be pretty good for your kids, for your family and friends. Yeah.
You suggested yap.chat. So this sounds like it's kind of a throwback.
yap.chat. is a pretty fun app if you're on your computer all day and you know that your friends are. It's a fun sort of ephemeral chat room. It supports up to about 6 people, I believe. It's basically a throwaway chat room. You can share links, YouTube videos, and sites, stuff like that. You can all watch them at the same time and comment on them. It's a pretty fun way to sort of share something real quick or have a quick discussion with some friends that doesn't have to be sort of recorded or logged into your Slack channel or your iMessage app or anything like that.
When we're using these, whether you decide to use FaceTime or Google Hangout or Zoom or any of these, how do you harness these to their full potential? Are there any tips you can give our listeners? Like, this is a really good way to use these or to get the most out of it?
Sure. I think beforehand you want to coordinate with your friends or whoever you're chatting with just to establish a good time so everybody's on the same page. You don't want anybody sort of running out to check if their, you know, food in the oven is ready. You know, they should probably handle that before you're doing this chat. Another thing you can check on is your internet connection, essentially. Since we're doing all this video chatting, a lot of our ISPs are sort of under strain. Uploading and downloading all this real-time video. So what you can do to sort of improve your connection, improve the quality of your calls, you can disable whatever devices or computers are already using your Wi-Fi, either unplug them, turn them off, something like that. You can get closer to your wireless router. If it's in the other room, for example, that'll cause a sort of signal degradation and a connection degradation, so your quality won't be as good. And if you can, if you're talking on a computer, if you're using your Mac or your PC or whatever, I recommend you, if possible, plug in an Ethernet cable directly from your router to your computer. That direct connection will get you the fastest connection to the Internet, faster than your Wi-Fi signal.
My guest is Patrick Lucas Austin, tech columnist for Time magazines. We're talking about ways to be alone together, streaming apps. Let's talk about Netflix Party. How do you use Netflix Party?
So I love these sort of hangout streaming apps that let you sort of watch videos with friends simultaneously. Netflix party. Basically, you share a Netflix link and you all watch it together. But there are tons of other, well, there are a few other similar apps. There's apps like Airtime for the phone, for your iOS device. You can share YouTube videos and in the same sort of video call, so you can all sort of react in real time to whatever you're watching. MetaStream supports a whole load of other services like Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, SoundCloud, like any sort of piece of media you can share. You can upload it to MetaStream or share the link to MetaStream and have everybody watch it at the same time. These apps are super invaluable, especially in times like this when you can't really see people, but you still want to connect with them on some level. And honestly, like, a lot of the ways we connect with people these days are by watching, media together and enjoying things together.
And I know on some of them you can either talk to each other or you can make comments on the side.
Mini chat room, essentially. Your own comment section on whatever you're watching. It's very fun.
How about gaming apps? Are there any good gaming apps you can suggest?
Gaming is, you can play, if you've got a console, you've got a library of games to choose from, whether you're subscribing to them or just buying them, one at a time. If you're trying to game with friends, there are games mm-hmm. that support something called cross-platform play, where if somebody's got a PC or an Xbox and you've got like a PlayStation or something, you can still play even though you're on a different console or, different machine. A game I would definitely recommend for that kind of cross-platform play is Rocket League. It's like with cars in a way. It's really fun. It's really a little cartoony, fun for the whole family. That's one way to go. You can also look into services that will stream games to whatever you've got. So if you've got a PC or a Mac, even if it's a Mac that's sort of not as powerful for, not designed for playing games, you can subscribe to a service called GeForce Now, which will let you sort of rent a gaming computer and use that to play and sort of stream that game to your low-end, laptop or older computer. If you've got a PlayStation and a partner in the house that's also sort of socially distancing with you, if you use the PlayStation 4's remote play service, you can play those games that are on your PS4 on your computer in the other room. So you can sort of free up that TV for your partner mm-hmm. who wants to watch something on Netflix or do whatever they want to do on that TV. And, you won't get in each other's way.
Look at you trying to keep peace in the house. That's a good plan.
Yeah. I'll take my thanks in advance for the relationships I saved.
My guest is Patrick Lucas Austin, tech columnist for Time. So, you know what? One of the apps that you recommended, you mentioned, was Glow Yoga. Now, Glow Yoga says one of the reasons that people like it so much are the instructors. Is this like an app or is this a series of classes?
It is both. It's a mm-hmm. service. It's sort of like a subscription yoga class service. There is an app available for your phone or for your Apple TV. You can watch the videos there. You can watch them on the site. It's basically a series of classes hosted by multiple instructors. So they'll walk you through whatever course you're into, whether it's sort of vinyasa yoga or, whatever else, meditation, Pilates. There's a whole host of categories and different options depending on how much time you've got, your experience, whether you're a beginner or an advanced practitioner, I would say. I actually looked at it this morning and was like, I should probably sign up for this just to get myself moving, at least for the next few months.
So if you give people one piece of advice in terms of security when they're thinking about apps, or anything you think they should really consider before they download an app, one thing?
Definitely. Just know that you might be a little overwhelmed if you decide to sort of read the privacy policy or their sort of terms and conditions, but I would definitely encourage people to read those things. A lot of the times you'll find buried in there the option to sort of opt out from sharing any sort of personal data. Unfortunately, a lot of these companies don't make it easy for you. So you've got to sort of read that fine print, find whatever sort of contact form or email address they've hidden in there, and then got to sort of do that manual work and email them yourself.
Sounds good. Thanks for the advice, Patrick.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.